Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of our special guest from this past weekend. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's the sermon from this past weekend.
Let's welcome Don, Miss Don Baker.
All right. Good to see you. Thank you for coming on this lost an hour day, right? Thank you for being here and for being so faithful. I'm excited to share this with you. And so I just want you to know it's so funny for me to come and share these things because I'm always like, it takes me a month to kind of what I feel like gather the clues, you know, of what God's been kind of piecing together. And then it'll take me another 6 to 7 months to kind of get it all out. So it always helps to kind of talk about it a little bit to get some words to it. But I will say it feels like I'm like a fire hydrant today. So I'm trying to be cautious of the time. And so, but thank you for the opportunity to get to share with you what God was showing me in Hawaii. If you're like me, Hawaii's always on that bucket list of many people, and it's just the most beautiful place. I know we've all seen pictures, probably postcards, maybe even a show or so, but it's an exquisite place. I do want to start with this picture of the Hawaii Island. There's many in the chain, and the one that I was on was called the Big Island, which is really Hawaii. There's an interesting thing about this particular island, I think, is it's made up of five separate volcanoes, all of which are active. You'll see kind of in the middle where it's brown and it looks like it's spreading. That's the largest of the volcanoes, Mauna Loa, actually the largest volcano in the world. I'm not going to quiz you on this later, but and the most active volcano in the world is Kilauea, which is where Hawaii Volcanoes National Park sits at the kind of caldera. If you're like me, I was like, what's a caldera? Caldera is the opening to the volcano, the opening that usually spews the lava. I grew up in the Philippines where we had volcanoes and they were powerful. They would blow. And here in Hawaii, or say there in Hawaii, the volcanoes don't spew, they don't blow, they ooze, which is an interesting thought when you think about what the park ranger said, bathtubs full of lava per second oozing out of the earth. So you guys remember back in 2018, Kilauea was erupting again, and it was all really on that sort of right side where it looks green and kind of white. It flowed down into the sea there, and it's actually causing it caused some new earth to be formed, several square miles of new earth. Now, you might think to yourself, so what, Don? this is an interesting place to look at what God wants to show you through what I think of landscape as a landscape painter of metaphor. And I'm always looking at the landscape as a metaphor of spiritual things. So the next picture, you might think, what is that bug? You know, if you were like me. But so on the left side, you'll see there's these centipedes that I happily, no, it wasn't happy, that I kind of found while I was there in Hawaii when we were staying at the residency. They're terrible. And they're like, you know, thick as a finger and creepy looking, and they sting you. And you know, when I was thinking of Hawaii, I thought like palm trees with a beach, you know. But there's these little creepy things. And then if you drive for any time, you'll see this exquisite sort of green, like green you've never seen, pasture lands. Because the Big Island has a lot of pasture land. It grows the beef for all the rest of the islands. And then all of a sudden you'll see like sort of more like a jungle. And then all of a sudden, it'll look like that on the right, where it's just been flowed over by lava. And this can be back in the 1900s, back in the 1800s, it can be 1960, it can be 2018, and it looks like that. The park rangers tell me that in about 1,000 years, it'll be the most rich soil that you can think of, and it'll be so lush, you know. But I don't know about you. I don't know if I'm going to be around in 1,000 years to see that, right? But I loved it. It was beautiful. But I share this to say there's some things about fear that God was showing me while I was there and still continues to show me as I've been walking through that with him. I wanted to start with just a... Actually, what I was walking through while I was there, can I just share that with you? As I was in Hawaii, I usually ask the Lord, can you give me a scripture, a passage, Lord, that you'd want me to sort of camp on? And I really felt like what I was in at the time was the book of Mark. And the Lord was like, just stay with that, you know? And so I did. And it was really uncanny how it almost it interesting to me how I would be facing something, and that very day, the passage I would read would be so relevant. I know many of us have had that happen to us when we read the Bible. It's still so clear. It's so relevant to our lives. But I'd like to start with this passage in Mark chapter 6, verses 47 to 51. There's many instances where Jesus is walking on water. But this is the one that I was sort of camping in, okay? So it says in verse... I'll pick it up in verse 47 to about 51. It says, and when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. So I just think this is cool about Jesus. He's an introvert. He likes to be by himself for a little bit. The boat's out. He's on the mountain coming down from having some quiet time with his father. And seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were frightened. But immediately he spoke with them, and he said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were greatly astonished. Okay. And it was interesting, as I was reading, this was the exact passage I read before I left to get on the plane. And I was going to be there several days, a little over a week before my family got there. My husband and my children were wrapping up school. It's like, see ya, Kendrick. No, but they were wrapping up school, and my mom was coming. My sister and her family were going to come for Christmas week. So it was going to be a busy time once everybody got there, but I had this sort of solid time of just by myself with these wonderful centipedes in the landscape. And I thought to myself, okay, by the way, I got to put on my old lady glasses because I cannot read. Thank you. I realized that I was facing some stuff that I'm not used to. I think many of us, when we travel, when we go to places that are new to us, it's exciting, but it's also a little scary. Will I make all the connections? Will I do everything I need to do? Will they let me in with oil paint? Will I be okay once I'm there? Will I do a good job? If I'm honest, this is the major fear. Am I going to flop on my face with all the art I've got to do? Okay. So there's these expectations not only from out, but from within, right? And so there's this fear, and the Lord said to me, take courage, it is I. And I had this sense of him saying, remember who I am. Well, stop thinking about you so much. Think, remember who I am. And that was a great encouragement to me. Now, I had to also remember to don't be afraid. So that when the centipedes were in the house, and there were several of them, you know, it hadn't been opened for several months, so there were several of them, I had to get my big girl boots on and start stomping, right? And I kept thinking the whole time, I can't wait till Kendrick's here, you know? And that's not the only reason, but one reason I love him, oh gosh, and my sweet mom, too, she's a missionary wife, she's like, oh, please, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, next picture. So, isn't this beautiful? Wow. So, interesting. This is one of the hardest hikes I had while I was there. On top of this pasture land, as you can imagine, it's very, very hilly in Hawaii, okay? It's volcanic. So the topography of Hawaii goes straight up at times. And I had to get used to that. I had to really get used to hiking that. But I was determined to get to the top of this particular, what I would say is like more of a hill, but it was pretty high up, just for this beautiful vista. But I'm going to be honest with you, it was about 40 minutes of going straight up. And I was tired. I mean, I jog every day, but I was tired. I'd have to stop and just be like, oh man, this is hard. You know, and it was interesting that I can't keep my page. It was interesting, the Lord was like, you know what, why don't you start telling me some things that have been hard for you this year? It was still 2019, so I had plenty. And I started I had my hiking stick, my backpack. I was starting to tell him, yeah, it's hard to be a mom sometimes. And I have great kids. I'm not complaining about that at all. It's just hard, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to be a wife. I have a great husband. It's hard to keep at that. It's hard to be a good friend. It's hard sometimes as a daughter. Lord, sometimes it's hard as being at church. Lord, it's hard. You know, sort of started telling him these things. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, just tell me. Just keep telling me about it. And I'd get out of breath, like, and I'd think to myself, yeah, it's felt like that. There's times it's felt like that. I'm exhausted with it, you know. And the Lord said, keep telling me. I get to the top, and there's this beautiful vista, this opening into the sea. The blue part is the ocean. There's the ocean right there. And there's this beautiful green landscape of the pasture land, and I thought, oh, isn't that beautiful? And it was an interesting feeling, you guys. I've never allowed the Lord to really just speak over me like this, but for once in my life, was able to kind of say, I feel your delight in me. I receive that. And I don't think I have to do something to earn it. And I know that we all struggle with that. I'm not the only person here who thinks, if I could just be more lovable, yeah, the Lord will look at me and I'll have favor. You know, but instead it was one of those feelings of, I just love spending time with you, Don. Thanks for telling me all that. It wasn't that he fixed it. It was that he was there with me. What a beautiful thing. So I want you to think about this as a three-point thing. I'm a good Baptist. So when we're looking at earth, and we're going to look at water, and we're going to look at fire, okay? And those are my 3 points. But the earth is something, asking a question of, what will I receive? As we think of the earth receiving into itself, not only our plants and crops and all that, but our dead, the earth receives into itself the rain, okay? What will I receive? What will I receive from God? What will I allow him to speak into my life over me, right? Yeah, I wrote this down. Just in being with me in my imperfections and my fears. How kind of him, how good of him to love us like we are, not wanting to change one thing, not at that moment saying, now, Don, let's work on something. It was just a moment of saying, I like being with you. The next picture, so I think this is so beautiful. I'm going to paint a painting of this particular image. I wanted you to see what I saw. So I'm showing you the photos. It's a beautiful mountaintop with this rain about to happen. And do you see that little white tree right in front of it? It's kind of reaching up. I'll make it more clear when I paint, right? But there's this beautiful sense of rain there. Rain, and I love rain. I'm the word for it is pluviophile. I'm a pluviophile. I like the smell of it. I like everything about it. And my husband will tell you, when it rains, I want to go running in the rain. There's over 200 words in the Hawaiian language for rain. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? I think it is. There's a word in Hawaiian for a fine, light rain. And there's a word in Hawaiian for a rain after a loved one dies. Oh, It's like the poetry of rain, isn't it? A language that understands the moods of rain. Yeah. So when I thought about this, I thought about water, this language of saying, God, this symbol in the Bible of such blessing. Remember when it was withheld, when rain was withheld in the Bible? It was a sense of the Lord saying, this is a punishment. You're not following me, so I'm going to withhold the rain, right? And when you are obedient, the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed so something could grow. Yeah. So the next picture. Yeah, thank you. So this one is, an interesting picture. This is the sea looking down onto those volcanic rocks. You see that? It's very violent there. If you're like me, I was kind of expecting more of these beautiful lazy waves and I don't know, you know, but I was there at the time where the sea was very violent, very, very tumultuous. And I was listening to God talking about what I believed was baptism. I want to read this quote to you. And Pastor Dave, even when I was sharing what I was going to say, he said, would you mention that we're going to have a baptism in Easter? And maybe they could be thinking about this quote as they go towards that Sunday. But let me read it to you. Our life flows out of our baptism. The things that have died, the things that are transformed, and the things that are being birthed. Yeah. Lord, what things are you wanting to see die in my life? Lord, what things are you in the midst of transforming right now? Lord, what are the new things that you're making? Yeah. And guys, can I just say, we'll just add this to this because those volcanic rocks are sharp, they're glassy, they're rough. What new things are you making in a place of pain or suffering? What new things are you creating? Yeah. All right, and the next one. Okay, so we finally get to the volcanoes, right, Don? It looks like a small hill, doesn't it? Like a slope, like a gradual sloping hill. It's a mountain, but it is gradual. This is Mauna Loa, the largest of the volcanoes, okay? This is actually the one they believe will blow next, you know? But it's beautiful, and it has these wonderful colorings to it at different times of day. It can be orange at times, and times it's really blue and cool. And this is like right in the middle of the morning. And I just love it. It always has this wacky, like, cloud around it, too. Right? Yeah. But I love it. It's beautiful. We were on a hike, Kendrick and I, looking out on this place of beauty. So what is it about the planet that needs to have volcanoes? It needs to have a place where it releases the pressure from our Earth. By the way, I don't know if you knew this. This is kind of neat to me. I'm not a scientist, but I think stuff like this is cool. Our Earth, if it was solid rock, would be a frozen planet. So we need a middle that's hot. That's cool to me that we actually, God knew that and he made it that way. But why? And why is it that everything on our Earth is movable plates? So nothing is steady or sure. We think it's sure, but it's not. It's always moving. And what I've been learning from these rangers and from some of the reading I'm doing is that these volcanoes are the weakest places of our Earth. This is the places where the pressure comes through. And if I was thinking of it as a metaphor, I was thinking of it as our wounds. These are the place where the Lord says, let it out. Let it out. If you don't, it'll come out another way, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to blow, right? You want to let it out. Yeah. So let me show you a picture. Next one. Here's the caldera. That's the crater of where it's happening. Isn't that beautiful? A very holy place, by the way. The Hawaiians leave food offerings there at the foot of it. And it's always steaming, always steaming. So, you know, even if you don't see the lava, there's something going on underneath. Yeah, and the next one. Yeah, so this is an interesting trail. It's called Devastation Trail. Interesting word, huh? And I took this hike, and I wonder if you guys have ever felt like you've been on a trail that felt like a devastation trail. And as the words, it's very easy to see that. There's nothing growing but just this one tree, right? So I asked the question here, being with Jesus helps us see clearly. But Lord, what did you want me to see? What did you want me to see? And if I can be honest with you, I found myself, I kept hiking and hiking and hiking and hiking. I was walking so much, I'd be sore. And I'd ask the Lord, am I missing something? Show me. What am I supposed to see, Lord? And let me share the passage of scripture that morning as I was about to take this hike. He said he had given me Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Let me read it to you. He said, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and entreated him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out to the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying hands on him, he said, do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, I see men, and I'm seeing them like trees walking about. And then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And I thought, thank you, God. You know, it was so, it seemed clear to me that the Lord was saying something to me about, you haven't seen it yet because I haven't made it totally clear to you yet. I don't know about you, but this passage always grosses me out a little bit. First of all, because Jesus spits on the guy. But the second of all, it's like, it sort of kind of makes me think, did you not do it right the first time, God? I mean, come on, make it work, you know? Is he just being stubborn? You know, this kind of questions like that. But what I really feel is it's inserted between two passages where the disciples are floundering with their faith. And here's a really beautiful picture of us. Do you see anything, Don? By faith? Oh, yeah, Lord, I do. I see that. But right now they're fuzzy like trees. And then a little clearer, and then a little clearer. And the Lord's asking us, let me help you see clearly in your devastation, right? And the next picture. Yeah, so this is the devastation trail. It's got these really sharp rocks as you go, and you have to be very careful. If you're someone like me, I have very weak ankles, so I have to be very careful not to, you know. And then finally it smooths out into this real smooth rock. And there's this beautiful, like, cloud, the steam that comes from the ground. And it looks like a no man's land. If I'm honest with you, I feel like I was on a moonscape. You know, not that I know at the moon, right? But it feels barren to me. And I would look around, and there'd just be these tiny little tree saplings coming through the cracks. In the next picture. Yeah. So this is one of the drawings I did of a tree. And this was one of the things the Lord sort of said to me, look a little clear. And it's interesting to me, the guy says, I see them like trees walking about. And the Lord showed me a tree. You know, this tree is amazing. This is an amazing tree. It's called the Ohia Lehua tree. It's native to Hawaii. I wish it was in color, actually, because it makes these beautiful flowers, these red flowers. And it actually makes yellow and a salmon color flower too, but mostly red. And they're the first tree to bud in the volcanic rock. They actually go into the very cracks and crevices of this hot earth, and they start to grow and thrive. They thrive. And because of these trees, what happens? Birds come, and birds bring other seeds. And because other seeds come, then all of a sudden, this barren place starts to become a forest again. And it's all because this tree. Now, one of the coolest things I found out from the rangers, this particular tree has a stomata, which is the plant cells, right? The cells. But their cells are able to close, like mouths. They're able to shut their mouth closed when the sulfur blows their way. When the toxic gases blow their way from the volcano. They shut their mouth. And then when the wind blows and it changes and they have their carbon again, they open their stomata to take a breath. And the ranger said he can sometimes literally hear them go, oh, what a beautiful metaphor to me. What a beautiful metaphor of how we should live our life as Christians. I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are hard and devastating, I just want to run away. I don't want to stay there. I don't want to be here, God. I'm supposed to go on the green pastures. Do you remember Psalm 23, Lord? Remember that part? I want to be where it's good and green. Why would you want me here? And God says, I want you to plant here. And then I want you to shut your mouth. I want you to shut your mouth when the poison's coming. I want you to shut your mouth when the words are coming to you. I want you to shut your mouth when the culture tells you different. And then when you get that breath of fresh air, oh, I see. I see God. Yeah. The question in the earth here and the fire, it's kind of the same, but it's where will I grow in the devastation? Where has God put me? Where has God put me to grow? Yeah. Okay, the next picture. So this is one of the mouths of the volcano. I did a painting of this exact picture, and I called it Sheol. There's this opening, this mouth opening to down and down, down, down into the chamber that reaches right down inside into the very lava, the heart, right? And these openings of wounds, right? These openings. Yeah, the next picture. Yeah, so... it wouldn't be dawn without me reading about somebody, right? and so I found and discovered this wonderful man, Father Damien, while I was in Hawaii, actually through Philip Yancey. And he pointed me to him, and I was just like, what an amazing person. And I just want to share his story with you because I think he absolutely manifests all of these things that I've been talking about. So Father Damien was 33 when he came to Hawaii. He was from Belgium, and he was one of seven children, the youngest of seven children, and he grew up on a farm. He worked very hard, as you can imagine. This is back in the 1800s, and he had felt a calling in his life to be a priest, and he didn't want to tell his father because his father wanted him to take the farm. And he worried about it, but he finally was like, I'm doing this, Dad, you know. And his father agreed to that. Now, I want to tell you this part. His older brother, who was a scholar, brilliant, brilliant scholar, also became a priest. And Damien compared himself all the time to his brother. He was like, my brother is so amazing. He's so smart. I'm such a lunk. All I do, he always said, like, the best thing I can do is build. I build things. But he had this calling to do something with his life. Yeah. And so, the next picture. There was a great need in Hawaii at this time. They were taking all the leprosy. There was a great plague of leprosy in Hawaii. As you can imagine, it's one of the most isolated, the most isolated area of land in the whole world. So when diseases came, it would devastate. And leprosy came through ships, and because of this, the people were dropping with leprosy. And the government decided, okay, what we'll do is we'll put all the leprous people on this island of Molokai, and we won't put them on the top side. You see the cliffs? Molokai really sits on top of these cliffs, but we'll put them down below on this sort of peninsula, which is sort of barren and open, exposed. And you might think, oh, look at those pretty beaches on the edges. Those aren't beaches, y'all. Those are volcanic rocks, so that when the ships came to drop off the leprous people, they basically just went and kicked them off the boat, and if they hit the rock and died, oh well, one less leprosy patient. Now, the worst part, and this is what happens to humankind, I think, is that when left to our own devices, when we're told that we're nothing, when we're told that we'd rather that you die, it became total anarchy on this island with the leprosy. You can imagine the strong were basically preying on the weak. Okay? It was terrible. It was so terrible. Women were being hurt. Men were hurting. There was just terrible anarchy. Lord of the Flies, okay? And Father Damien was asked, or actually several priests were asked, who will go and be a priest to the lepers just for 4 months? And Father Damien said, I will go. I would like to go. I would like to do that. And he went and he stayed. And he stayed for 16 years. You go to the next slide. And there he is with his boys. By the way, there were so many orphaned children that had leprosy. Basically, they were not allowed off the island. So once you got on the island, you had to stay until you died. So there was children running around the island, and they were being treated as slaves by the stronger leprous people. And guys, it's a terrible slavery. And so Father Damien took them in and said, okay, I'll be their father, and started building. By the way, that building that he liked to do, he built over 600 homes for the leprous people. He built a church, actually three churches. And it was his skill in knowing how to do that. It was hard work. And he had to bring lumber in and do all this stuff. What was the rule he was told? Don't touch the lepers. Just don't touch them. And he broke that the first day. He refused to not touch people who were suffering. And because of that, he contracted leprosy as well. You can go to the next slide. This is him right before his death, several months right before his death. He was there 11 years, and then after the 11th year, he contracted the leprosy. I don't know if any of you know what leprosy is. In the Philippines, it's still there, so we were able to see people with leprosy, but it's where you don't have any feeling. There's no feeling in your hands. So if you touch something hot, you don't know it, and you burn your hand. And that's interesting to me because these people had basically been told you're not worth anything because you have this disease of not feeling. But aren't they the people who have no feeling? Aren't they the people who are saying we don't care about you guys who have no feeling? It takes a hard heart to be like that. There's a movie about Father Damien's life. It's called Damien of the Molokai, and you can see it on YouTube for free. Okay, it actually has some pretty good acting in it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I see these movies about Christians, I think, oh man, you're sort of like embarrassed. Like, oh my gosh, that was good, I guess, you know. But this was well acted, and I recommend it to you. But I'm going to tell you one of the scenes in the movie. I'm going to ruin this scene for you. I hope you'll look at it and love it as much as I do. There's a leper woman in the movie. And she's put on the island by herself, a very beautiful woman. And what's happening on the island is a bunch of debauchery and partying and lots of hula dances. And they're doing everything they can to distract themselves from death. Okay? And Father Damien would go into these parties and he would take all the children out. He would say, stop it. You're scaring them, and they should never see adults when they're being inebriated like they are. Take the children out of those parties. So he butts into one of these parties, and he starts gathering up all the children. And this guy's yelling at him. He said, get out of here, get out of here, you know. And he sees this woman that he knows that it's been coming to church, and he says to her, come on, come on. And she looks at him. It's kind of this moment of just looking at him like. And she stands up and she says some very powerful words. She says, I have the right to the good life. Yeah. And there's this moment of him looking at her. Just. And this is the words he says. The good life was when you helped the sick, when you made the children laugh, when you held them when they were scared. And that's all he says. He walks out. Yeah. And a few scenes later, you see her at church, you know. And I say that because I think our culture, isn't this our culture? I have the right to a good life, to the good life, to the good life. The life that says, I want to have fun. You're just a bunch of wet blankets. You want me to just concentrate on this or that, you know. Our culture says the opposite, right? But what Jesus welcomes us into the good life, the real good life, which, by the way, sometimes requires us going into the place of devastation and making a home there and saying, I will touch even those that others won't touch. I will love the unlovely. Because let's just be honest, our culture needs you to love them. Guys, there's just some hurting people out there. My children go to school with a lot of that. They go to school, what I would say is a devastation trail. And we see it in our home, we see that. We pray for these kids, we want them to be loved. We also want to protect our own children, don't we? Yeah. Well, Lord, but the Lord's called us to something. He's saying, go towards the pain. The good life is in me. The good life is in me. All right, and I wanted to leave you with the psalm that became sort of my Hawaii psalm. As I was reading through Mark, I also read a psalm every day. And the one that really stuck with me was Psalm 34. And I want you to look at these last two photos. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And then one more. Beautiful, beautiful. So let me read this to you, and I want you to think about God as I talk about, as you look at those pictures. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. And guys, if you'll go just down a little bit to verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, that's interesting. He doesn't say many are the afflictions of the unrighteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And this is my favorite part. He keeps all his bones. So Lord, the part in me, the deep part of me, the part that can be broken, Lord, you keep that. You keep it. And you hold it. And Lord, I want to say this to you as my church family. Come. Let us exalt his name together. By the time I was almost done with this residency, can I tell you the one thing that I missed the most was y'all, was gathering together every Sunday and having a place of community. I missed it. I missed it in my bones. I thought, I love being here, Lord, and I love this landscape, and I could live here, but there's a part of me that's dying. I need community. And I need to exalt the Lord with you, because you have something to teach me. You have something to show me of Jesus too. And guys, I say that because I think we need to encourage one another. Let us not give up meeting together as the manner of some is, right? Let us keep going. Let us keep going. Nothing stops fear like getting our eyes on God.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas. with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.